Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Dewar Gaines. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and I am the founder and operator of Gaines Family Farmstead. It's an all-natural dog treat company.
Awesome. So can you just tell me how you got the idea for this company?
Yeah. So my background is in advertising and marketing. I spent a number of years in the ad space, helping brands from scratch, growing them from nothing to something, or stepping in and running specified campaigns for them. While I was in ad world, I had a client that was in the pet space, fell in love with the market, have always been really passionate about dogs, and actually lost a dog like 8 years ago to rawhide poisoning. And at that point, I started paying attention to the quality of the products that we were feeding our animals. And then when the opportunity came to jump in, I quit my very comfortable, lucrative career, probably still upset my dad a little bit about that one. And next thing you know, we're hand making dog treats in an 800 square foot garage.
That's amazing. But I guess like it's one thing to have the idea, right? But like, how did you actually go from saying, okay, I want to do this to, you know, creating like this prototype and building it out and getting like, you know, your product to market, I could say?
Well, because I was responsible for that for a number of clients. So when you work in marketing, not only do you conceptualize a product, a brand, a message, but you have to understand intensively the market that something lives in. So whether it's selling a t-shirt, a car, piece of property, or a dog treat, you have to understand the market. So fortunately, I did have an understanding of the market already and kind of how it functioned. And I was used to developing something from scratch. This is not my first business to start. I've had a couple of before, a couple massive failures and a couple of successes. So I guess going from ideation to concept was just a matter of sitting down and thinking out everything that had to be accomplished in order to get a product in front of a retailer or on a website or onto Amazon, whatever vertical, and put together a punch list and just crank through it.
So is your business today mostly in retail or D2C? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we're about almost 7 years old. A lot of brands that are launching right now are D2C only or D2C focused with a retail as kind of like phase two. We went the opposite direction out the gate. At that time, digital was growing, but in order to, and we've always had a digital presence, but in order to really get the economies of scale that we needed to create a product that was really commercially viable in an e-com setting, we had to go to retail first. So we went retail hard, actually. And in fact, it wasn't until the beginning of 2023 that we transitioned away from the retail first strategy. We actually sell into distribution. So there's a number of distributors that service pet shops all over the United States. We like to say we're a sales and marketing company. So we let distributors manage all the independent customers, do all the invoicing. We have one centralized client. We give up some margin for them to be experts at that so we can be experts at what we do. So we sell into distribution. We also sell to places like Chewy. We also launched a partnership with Costco last year. That's been a wild ride. Retail first, but we do have around, we're projecting this year, 30% of gross revenue will be driven by digital sales, whether that's Amazon or our website.
So in terms of driving sales online, right, like are you running ads on Facebook or how are you getting people in the door?
Yeah. Okay. So we are gorillas in the way that we operate. Like the other day, Miss Peaches, Dave Portnoy's dog, So we saw that he got a dog. We said, okay, let's send a bunch of dog treats to all of his offices, and then let's send a box of dog treats straight to his house. So we sent a box of dog treats to his house. He happened to open that box on a live stream.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's
you can
all.
imagine what happens, something like that. We only pay for Amazon advertising. We do not do any other paid advertising anywhere unless it's with an influencer, and influencer campaigns are few and far between for us. We're in the middle of one right now, but it's not a pay-to-play campaign. You can make money online without spending a ton of money on ad space on Instagram, Google, and Facebook. I'll just put
That's
it that way.
true. So in terms of growth, right? Like obviously this retail first strategy 7 years ago, things were different, but even back then or even today, like how have you grown? Did you do like in-store, you could say sampling, or like what did you do specifically to grow your channels to
So,
position yourself today?
one, I think we have a great brand. We built a brand that answers a lot of questions and solves a lot of problems. Again, that's what my background's in, so that's where my head always goes back to. Before we launched, we knew that there are basically seven key fundamental factors that drive consumer behavior in a premium pet space. Our brand and our product checks all seven of those boxes. I'm not going to give those seven up. You can do your own research. Package Facts has all the info you need. But so one, we created a brand that was really fantastic, and then we stayed true to ourselves. We didn't chase big revenue. We chased sustained growth, and we really grinded it out one store at a time for 6 years, 5.5 years. And we just create products that are great, and we have product that always, we're never sold out. We're really, really good operators. And we stuck true to ourselves, and I think we've stood the test of time. And we had, our product is, we're coming out with, we have 19, we had 19 SKUs last year. We'll have 35 by the end of this year. I think we've gained the market's acceptance enough that it's now we can put a lot of product out there. In terms of growth, we were slow and methodical until 2023. We were growing 10 to 30 percent year over year, and then last year we grew 480%,
Wow.
and we're on track to do something similar to that this year.
That's amazing. So in terms of your products, right? Like, what separates you in the market? I think that you mentioned you started this company because your dog had like a certain health problem. So your products, are they focused more on solving those problems, on healthy living for dogs, prolonging like the life for dog, and people are attracted to them because they're good quality products?
A few of those patterns and trends that we recognized 7 years ago are in full-fledged effect right now. So the humanization of pet treat is a pet treat and food. Like some of the foods that these dogs are eating is better than the foods we feed to our kids. So we're single ingredient or very limited ingredient. We are 100% natural, no artificial flavorings, no artificial preservatives, 100% American supply chain. So every single aspect of our entire product is American. If somebody said, hey, where did you get these sweet potatoes? We could say we got it from Farmer Joe.
It's
We
amazing.
have a real great control on our supply chain. And there's a lot of allergies in pet these days. Our single and limited ingredient panels solve those problems for the folks with allergies. So yeah, we do solve some of those problems. Now, what we've seen a lot is people are creating functional treats. So kind of like a poppy drink has probiotics in it. Imagine the same thing for pet, except it has glucosamine and chondroitin in it, which is good for like hip and joint support. Our products do that naturally. It's just, we use sweet potatoes as one of our main ingredients. They're
Right.
food for humans, they are for dogs as well.
Makes sense. So obviously now, right, like you mentioned that you're looking at growing 400% again, right? But like, what would you say is like the biggest thing that's in the way from like where you're at now? It's really scaling by that number in 2024.
It's all about cash flow, man. So we operate really heavily on just-in-time inventory because we have an American supply chain. We have a 3 to 4 week lead time from our factories. At any given time, we have 60 to 90 days worth of inventory in our warehouse. Now, as like so with Amazon, we've done 60% of last year's revenue in the first 70 days of this year, whatever day it is. So the capital outlay to maintain an inventory status at Amazon is expensive. Same with Chewy, same with our distributors. As we gain new customers, oftentimes, like the big boys, they want longer payment terms. So we have to, a lot of my job lately has been CFO. As much as any, obviously we have accountants and stuff, but managing cash flow is very, very crucial right now. One wrong partnership could really, a big partnership could really hurt us. Obviously, we have financial mechanisms in place that help us manage all this, but I think scaling any CPG company really comes down to cash at some point. And that's why we're kind of in this transition into really heavy digital. It's time to make that transition. Our margins are really good, so the transition to digital makes sense at this point.
For
But
sure.
yeah,
So
cash
once,
flow is the constraint for all CPG companies in a growth state.
for sure. So like once somebody buys from you, right? Like how do you measure that customer lifetime value?
It's good. It's really good. So our website has a 68% return customer rate, and the average lifetime value is over 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so there is a going back to one of your earlier questions, there is a great case for how many people can we drive to the website, how quickly, and how many can we convert to lifetime members. We have some conversion rate optimization stuff we're still working through. That time will come, but it's long. It's really long. I mean, we have customers that have been buying from us for 7 years. So within the first 90 days of the website being launched, we have customers that are still buying from them, and they get a handwritten note card from me. Well, I get somebody else to write it. They wouldn't be able to read it, but they get a card from me once a year, and a Christmas present, thanking them how, those are the customers that got us through the days when we were still doing farmers markets and stuff.
It's amazing. Yeah, I think especially for the products that you're selling, I mean, the dogs need them, you could say every month, right? So it's like once they buy it and the dogs are happy and they're feeling better, well, like why would they not buy it again?
Bingo. Yeah, the lifetime value of a customer in the pet space is generally the lifetime of a pet.
Right.
And it's like 13 years.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, many companies are using AI in their business. So do you guys use AI? And if not, like where do you think AI could add value?
We do use AI. So one, I use AI in my everyday. It's integrated very much into my life. But from a business standpoint, and that's just in functional operational stuff, how I operate. There's always a couple windows open where I can quickly, it's a great resource for a business owner, learn very rapidly from it. But we actually have been building for the last year a piece of artificial intelligence that basically is going to be our controller, our inventory management system. We're feeding every data point of the entire company into it all at once, so that at any given moment, I want to be able to open up and say, how many units of SKU X did we sell in the last 65 days, and what was our net return on that? You know how long it would take a person to calculate that? I mean, because of all the different movements of our business. So it is performing well now. The goal is to have it finished halfway through this year. But what I think that will allow us to do is go from 35 SKUs to 200 over the next couple of years without adding maybe but one or two employees, and utilizing that as the central nervous system of the business. It'll give us recommendations on when to order product. It'll give us recommendations on when to put certain products on sale because of the life cycle of the product. It'll tell me what the net margin was per distributor and take into account everything from trade shows to travel to credits and bill backs. It's a big piece of tech, but not only do I think it'll improve the function of our business, but I think it'll improve the overall value of our business.
For sure. But like, what about AI for chat? Maybe like if customers have questions about the product, about the ingredients, things like that.
No, but we should be. We're a robust business, but we're a very limited team. We have four full-time team members. That's it, which is a credit to all the tech we use, I think. But I often still on the weekends find myself responding to Shopify inbox messages. So no, we're not utilizing it, but probably should be.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
So, piece of advice I'd give to anyone with aspirations of being an entrepreneur is don't quit. You can do anything. You just have to not quit. What I wish I knew going into this company, probably how capitally intensive it was, and I might have structured some things a little differently when we launched. But I think I had to learn. I don't think anyone could have taught me what I've learned over the last 5 years. I've got all the black eyes, the sleepless nights, the days where the world's falling apart because of something. I've learned through all of that. That's not something that can be taught. That's something you have to learn through. I could have had a team member on the team. It still is an emotional struggle that I had to go through. And I think that's the thing that makes leaders and successful entrepreneurs is the folks that are willing to go through the hell and come out and not quit and come out the other side.
Not quitting is critical, especially, you know, iterating, pivoting when something happens. Okay, how do you solve that problem as opposed to just giving up, you know?
In June of 2020, we had $7,000 in the bank account and no purchase orders and very limited inventory. The first 4 months of COVID just absolutely decimated our business. And 2 years later, you know, we're blowing up.
It's amazing.
But we had the serious conversation in June. It's like, do we hang this up right now? And I was like, hell no, let's keep going. Let's keep
I
going.
Love that.
Not
I
dead
love
quite yet.
It's amazing. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Well, I'm working on something really big that will, it's a huge play. It's a national play. I think if we had this conversation in March of next year, I'll be saying that our new product line is going to be launching nationwide or at least regionally in the Southeast and every Petco, PetSmart, Walmart, Sam's Club, Publix. I think it's a mass market, huge play. I think that Gaines Family Farmstead has 35 to 40 products at that point. And I think that we'll probably be in the midst of a Series A round of financing.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yeah, absolutely. So just hit me up on LinkedIn, Doer Gaines. You can email me at Doer, D-E-W-A-R, at Gaines Family Farmstead. I'm not going to give out my cell, but more than likely within a couple minutes of talking, I'll be texting with you anyway. I'd love to, you know, I'm working with several young entrepreneurs. I say young, they're 25 or so. That seems young at 35, but I'm actually working with a couple entrepreneurs right now, taking advisory roles and small investment positions in their businesses. So if there's a good opportunity out there, I'd love to talk to somebody.
Sounds great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Have a good one.
You too. All right. Bye.